Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And a good afternoon, everybody. It is a Tuesday, or Wednesday edition, I should say, Thursday edition of the Steve Jones Show. It's been that kind of week. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Cotrillo here with you soon. Steve Jones will be there in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And also joining us here today is Bob Buhner, back on with us here on the show. Bob, good to have you back.
Thank you, Matt. It definitely is Thursday, and gotta love Sunbury Motors. I'm a fan of their quick lane.
Yes, absolutely. My wife and I have used that ourselves. Yeah, it's a good spot, definitely.
So we have Merle Reese coming in at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. That ought to be exactly special. Right.
Yes, just in today, he'll be joining us 4:06 to talk Eagles-Cowboys this weekend. 4:25 at the link. We'll have the game on Eagle 107, so looking forward to have Merle on the show. We're still supposed to have Cam Meller, too, from Pro Football Focus on the show today, too, so we'll be looking forward to that. And also one other NFL note, Bob, that we'll also have to mention to Steve once he joins us from the Sunbury Motors, is we have the 38 finalists so far for the NFL Centennial Pro Football Hall of Fame class. That includes one Steeler and Bill Cowher, and also includes one Eagle, finally, which is long overdue in my opinion, in Harold Carmichael.
Oh, Harold Carmichael, the great receiver, did it all back in the day.
And absolutely.
Bill Cowher had an incredible coaching record. He was only about the second head coach the Steelers had in the modern era of pro football, following Coach Knoll. He had a great record, and we see him as an analyst. And I guess a lot of people growing up now, looking at the NFL, think of him more as a guy, a talking head on a Sunday, rather than prowling the sidelines of Steelers stadiums. And he was very good at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, just this breaking in college basketball, men's hoops, James Wiseman, who was already suspended for 12 games from the NCAA over eligibility concerns, he is now leaving Memphis and will enter the NBA draft. He did hire an agent, so I guess not quite a surprise there, considering he knows the kind of talent he has, and he's just not going to stand by and watch. He wants to get ready to go for the NBA draft. So that's no surprise there.
Tells you the mercenary role that we see in college sports these days, with transfer portals in football and just hiring an agent in basketball, and off you go to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. So we want to hear from you on that. Eagles, Cowboys, anything from yesterday from the early signing day period, 27 signed from Penn State yesterday. 1-800-795-9565. You can hit us up on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU, or at the Steve Jones Show on Facebook. And you can also email us, stevejonesshow@wkok.com. You can send us a message on Facebook, too, and we'll be able to check in on that as well. And we have all 3 months of show archives posted at stevejonesshow.com as well, or you can drop us a note as well on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or iTunes, any of that. You can check out the show as well.
And we are on every social media platform.
Yes, always.
A lot's going on. Penn State has a basketball game coming up against Central Connecticut.
Yep.
9-2 at this point in the early season before they get into Big Ten play, although they've had two games in the Big Ten. A signature win over Maryland and a squeaky 2-point loss to Mississippi State recently. So they're 9-2 with Central Connecticut and Cornell before they get into the full Big Ten schedule.
Got that right.
Yeah. What do we know about Central Connecticut, Steve?
Unfortunately, not very good. They'll try to muck the game up by a lot of jump and run, 2-2-1, sometimes 1-2-2 press, try and get you to beat it. They're not a very good shooting team. They're very, very young. Very, very young. They're coached by Donyell Marshall.
Oh, sure. Donyell was from Reading, I believe.
Yes, he's a Reading guy. And they have a kid named Reed that had 15 points yesterday against Dartmouth. They got a kid named Greg Outlaw, who's not a bad player. He's actually pretty good. Kid named Trey Tennyson, who had 12 yesterday against Dartmouth and actually had a double-figure game against BC before that. But they're just struggling.
And, Steve,
They don't shoot the ball well.
Steve, it looks like the Lions basketball team will complete the early part of their season before they get into complete Big Ten play with an 11-2 record. Do you remember a time where they've had that record at this point in the season?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
When they had DJ Newbill, they were 12-1 going to the Big Ten.
Okay.
And then they lost the opener at Wisconsin.
Well, back when Bo Ryan was there?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I mean, so I look, I you know. Believe me, I've seen it all.
Yes, you have.
I've seen it all, some good, some bad. But you know what? This is a good team. I was at this morning's practice, and they had a terrific practice this morning. I just got off the phone with Mr. Ham.
Ah.
So Jack says, at the end of the call, he says, all right, he says, let me tell you where I am right now. And I'm not going to get into where he is.
Okay.
But it was not exact. It didn't paint a pretty picture. It was work related.
Ah.
All right. And I said to him, I said, you know, he says, I don't know. He's kidding around. He says, I should get into a different line of work. I said, Jack, I said, you know, instead of being the humble, down to earth guy you are, which he is, instead of being the humble, down to earth guy you are, he says, yeah. He says, maybe every once in a while you ought to kind of pull the Hall of Fame card out. I said, get out of some of this stuff.
Steve,
he says, you know what? I think you're right.
Yeah, we were talking about Jack Ham right before when Matt and I, before we got on air, and we were talking about this 100th anniversary NFL team, and they're picking the top 100 players. It would seem logical to this person and to many others and Penn State fans and Steeler fans that Jack Ham should be on that list.
He is.
Okay. That's what we want.
No, no, he is on the list.
Well, and the question is, what other Penn Staters?
Well, they're not done with it yet.
Because they're revealing it in segments, right?
Right. They've already done the linebackers. He's one of the 12 linebackers. I mean, Jack made it.
Ah.
Okay.
That is. Pull that card out of the old wallet when.
You know what, Bob?
He doesn't.
To be
do
honest
that.
With you, he, there isn't anything in him that would compel him to do it. That's just not him. It's hard. It's hard to describe because. Like certain people are like, hey, look what I'm doing. You know, it's like, and we're at that time of the year where, you know, I'm no longer interim, whatever. Okay.
That kind of stuff.
Okay, that guy. Stop laughing, Cotrillo.
I can't help it. I'm sorry.
Okay. You know, he's not that kind of guy. He has a sharp wit. I mean, Jack is genuinely really funny. And. You know, and he'll jab you, you know, in fun. Then, you know, you jab back at him a little bit in fun. But that's, and then the worst, and this is where you got to bring Ron Mueller in, right? He goes, you two clowns, right? When we double team.
Oh.
Somebody.
That is wicked when that happens.
All right. But it's all in good fun. But he's down to earth. He doesn't have any ego. You know, you've been around Dick Girardi. Girardi's the same way. Dick has no ego.
No, they're and absolutely has no sense of self-importance, either one of those guys. That's what I've always thought about both. And I've had the opportunity to meet both.
And they'll both freely admit their biggest problem is me.
So, yes, it is. they both confided in me about that, but... Now, Steve, the other question we had, Matt and I, is any other Penn Staters on that top 100 list that you see potentially happening?
Franco could make it.
I came up with Mike Munchak on the line.
Munchak could.
Yeah, that is a good name.
He'd be considered one of the best ever.
Rosie Greer.
No.
Okay.
It's 100, so they're doing it like linebackers were 12. So is Rosie Greer, for example, I don't know how many defensive linemen they're picking, so I would guess 15. If they pick 12 linebackers, let's see, that'd be 4. So maybe they're picking 16 defensive linemen. He wouldn't be one of the 16 defensive linemen, I don't think.
Okay. I was just trying to think of any other Penn Staters that you would think.
I mean, Munchak definitely would be one. I think there's no doubt Munchak would be one. Franco could be another one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess we could ask people to call in and tell us if we've missed anybody or anybody they think would be on that top 100 list.
Yeah. I mean, you think of people in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you got to start there.
Augie Michalski. Obviously, Franco is. Munchak is. Jack is. Dave Robinson is, but Dave Robinson did not make the linebacking group.
Yeah, I mean, he was not only great at Penn State, but he went to a little football town called Green Bay, Wisconsin back in the day.
Yeah. So, I think those are the 5 Hall of Famers. And you take a guy like Mike Reed. Mike Reed could have been, but Mike Reed got out too soon.
Yeah.
And because Mike Reed got out too soon, and I think the last time I talked to Mike, I think it was actually in April. And I had a long talk with Mike. And Jack was telling me the same thing, that Jack talked to Mike on the phone. And it's like the first time he's really expressed maybe a little regret. Maybe he got out too soon.
Well, he got into other Hall of Fames, I think he's in the Country Music Hall of Fame for his.
Exactly. I was talking at the banquet the other day. I had to introduce Kyle Brady, and I said, we've had a lot of great speakers up here over the years that have been incredible, and I listed a few, and I got to Mike Reed, and I said, Mike Reed, I said, look, there's 7 billion people on the planet. There's only one that has an Outland Trophy and a Grammy. I said, that's Mike Reed. I said, one out of 7 billion.
So those are long odds.
Oh, no, they are. It's like being executive vice president for sales and bowling in 297. There's only one person that's ever done that. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Oh, hello.
Can you help us with our insurance?
From in there?
Oh, the cage? I've been with this provider for years.
Let's find a trusted choice independent agent.
Trusted choice!
Many insurance agents are held captive by one provider, but a trusted choice independent agent has the freedom of choice. They can shop multiple providers on your behalf to find the coverage options and prices right for you.
Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. Are you trapped by one company's rates? Call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855.
Hi, this is Amy Buhner with Bowen Agency Realtors. If you know me at all, you know I like to help. But this time, I might need a little help from you. I don't have many houses to sell, so we need some of those. But I love working with buyers too. Plenty of buyers looking for houses, but if you're buying, come find me. Whether you're selling or buying, I would love to help. Can I help you?
And remember, at the very least, you can always expect my very best.
Coming or going, trust the talent at Bowen. Online at bowenagency.com.
A private autobiography. This holiday season, give the gift of a lifetime. The most precious gift ever. Your legacy in a beautiful handcrafted book capturing your life for your family and future generations. I'm Roy Mowat, founder of Lifetime Private Autobiography, created to capture my father's stories and voice through regular personal interviews. Don't just take my word for it. Ali in Boston gave her father his very own private autobiography.
It's hard to give your father something. You know, like, he gave me everything. The idea that I could actually give him a gift that had real meaning, that wasn't just some silly throwaway gift for another year of a holiday. So I know I'm giving him that gift of remembering really happy times. You can't give someone more than that. I literally cannot believe the price. It's very inexpensive for what you get.
Give the gift of a lifetime and contact us on privateautobiography.com or call 833-200-7474. That's 833-200-7474.
Hi, this is Kim Smith, Safety Press Officer for PennDOT District 3. If you're going to be celebrating the holidays with some family and friends and alcohol is involved, I do have some safety tips for you. Remember, it is never okay to drive impaired. Designate a sober driver or have a plan to use public transportation or a ride-sharing service such as Uber or Lyft to get home safely. If you see an impaired driver on the road, call 911 and report it. Take the keys away from anybody who is impaired and help them make arrangements to get home safely. If hosting a party, serve plenty of snacks and non-alcoholic drinks. And know how much alcohol is in your drink. For instance, some craft beers have twice the alcohol content as a same-size standard beer. A Long Island iced tea has the same alcohol content as 4.4 standard drinks. We want you to enjoy the holidays, but also be safe. You can get more information on impaired driving and other traffic safety at www.penndot.gov.
News Radio 1070 WKOK wants you to know about the people and organizations that help make the Susquehanna Valley a better place to live.
Hi, this is Kim Smith, Safety Press Officer for PennDOT District 3. If you're going to be celebrating the holidays with some family and friends and alcohol is involved, I do have some safety tips. Remember, it is never okay to drive impaired. Designate a sober driver or have a plan to use public transportation or a ride-sharing service. If you see an impaired driver on the road, call 911 and report it. You can get more information on impaired driving and other traffic safety at www.penndot.gov.
News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley.
We know the value of community and technical colleges and the value they bring to rural communities across the nation, and our goal is to help these colleges be successful in every way. What we're trying to do here with the Education Project is really bring you a full service campus here. Community colleges do a lot of things, but one of the most important things they do is they're the catalyst for economic development.
WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Patrick Chambers next half hour, and then Merrill Reese at 4:06 today. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing Merle.
Eagles and Cowboys this week. That's actually a Sunday game. There are three Saturdays. No Thursday game tonight.
Yeah.
There's no Thursday game tonight.
NFL taking over Saturdays traditionally reserved for college football.
Yeah. Because of the Saturday game. They're putting it on Saturday. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Saturday we have Houston is at Tampa Bay at 1 o'clock. Buffalo at New England, 10-4 versus 11-3 at 30. And the Saturday night game is the Los Angeles Rams at the San Francisco Giants.
49ers.
The 49ers. What I'm saying, Giants. I've got baseball in here. A peep. And the Niners rebounding from a loss last week.
Yeah. So that's what we have coming up. That's Saturday. Now, the bowl season begins tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And with it beginning at 2 o'clock tomorrow, it'll be Buffalo and Charlotte. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think we've already seen Buffalo play this year, haven't we?
Yes, we have. So Charlotte's a pretty good team, by the way. Charlotte's pretty good.
Yeah. I do like Buffalo tomorrow in that game. I still have to finish up my picks, but I will have them ready before the 2 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, don't do it like the guy who actually was the original producer of the show, where he put out his bowl picks like an hour after all the games were played and said, oh, look at the record I have.
No, I always make sure it's before kickoff.
Yeah, that would be a first for that seat.
Yeah, that's a violation.
Hey, Sean was great. Always up front, above board. Then there was the other guy. All he wanted to do was win.
No question.
So he'd fill out the bracket right after the games were played.
And still got a couple wrong. I have no idea how he did
that. It's all part of the plan.
He thinks deep thoughts.
Was it Saturday Night Live? Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy. Deep Thoughts.
Exactly.
Deep Thoughts. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I believe, Matt, we're going to shift gears to Lou Prado, I believe.
Yes, still waiting on him to get in now. Okay, I think we're just getting in touch with him. One sec.
Yeah, and we'll talk with him. And then Merrill Reese in the next half hour about the big Eagles-Cowboys showdown. It is that. It's a big, it's, look, this is with the division on the line. Yeah, so there you go. We'll talk with Merrill about that. So that'll be awesome to have him on and talk about the showdown. I mean, the Eagles have been at times frustrating. How about that?
Yeah, I think that's putting it nicely.
Yeah, frustrating? Yeah.
Yeah, especially, well, really on both sides of the ball, but especially offensively.
Well, they've been a lot like the Phillies.
Yes.
This past year, where you have some expectations, and then every single night, and in this case, the Eagles, every single Sunday or Monday, you feel like it's a trip to the dentist.
Yes, exactly right. And I think a lot of the problem, again, has been injuries, but it's just everybody from the coach all the way down has been inconsistent. But now all you wanted was a chance. All we asked for was a chance. They're going to get that chance to beat the Cowboys at home. The crowd will be behind them. And Carson Wentz is playing as good football as he is has been playing really this whole season. So this is the biggest game of his career thus far, and we'll see if he can get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. Do we have Mr. Prado?
I think we're almost there with him. Still trying to get on the line with him.
It's ringing.
Yes.
It's ringing. But yeah, that's...
I think Eagles are like going to the dentist office and having the Novocaine wear off in the middle of the procedure.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Every game, the Giants game was a perfect example. You're going along, you're like, okay. Any time now.
Yeah.
Hey, it's the Giants.
They're not very good.
And if the Eagles were to win on Sunday, they'll have to get past the Giants again, this time on the road, to win the division.
But this time, with Daniel Jones at quarterback.
Yeah.
Right. Presumably. Yeah.
Yeah?
I think you heard it here first.
We do have Lou ready, by the way.
All right. Well, then let's bring in the great Lou Prado, who joins us. Lou, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Christmas shopping. I can't be in a studio with you, but I want to congratulate you on being only 61 years old. You're one of the youngest of the all-time broadcasters. Merle Reese is up there in age.
I know, that's interesting. Or Lou sent me an article, of the football play-by-play guys in the state: Temple, Pitt, Steelers, Eagles. I'm the baby.
You're the baby of even nationally. I mean, even all those national guys. It's just amazing.
I know. It really is. That is amazing. Hey, Penn State goes to the Cotton Bowl for the fourth time.
The fourth time. That's right.
Yeah, and so obviously the first one is the one that will be. There are two of them that are incredibly noteworthy, and I'll get to the one against Texas in a moment. But the one against SMU with Doak Walker and Wally Triplett is always going to be one that historically, and it's, you know, and Penn State plays the role in the history, but historically significant.
Yeah, that's true, and you know, and it's sad that I guarantee a lot of the players today don't remember it. I mean, they may be reminded now by the coach and his staff, but a lot of fans don't remember it, what happened. I mean, not that they were there, because that happened in 1948, January 1st of 1948, the great 1947 team. But it's sort of dissipated into history, and I think I've told you before, I've been working on a book for years about it off and on because of the other projects I have, but I'm deep into it now and learning a lot of things. But the basic bottom line on this, it's a milestone for civil rights in that they played the game, integrated the Cotton Bowl, the first time the two African Americans, blacks, played in a game. And there's a lot of we could talk about how it all happened, but you got to go back to talk about this. You got to talk about 46 first. And in 46, when Wally Triplett and Denny Hogard were on a team, and Wally was a sophomore, he came out of Cheltenham High School in 1945. He was a freshman. So 46, and Denny had gone off to the war. Denny had been a walk-on back in the early, before the war, and then he went off to the war and came back. So he was an end, and he didn't play when he was in his walk-on year in 42, I think it was. They had a junior varsity team back there. He played on that, but then the JV dissipated. They canceled it because of the war. So, but in 46, just to skip to the chase, is that the games back then were scheduled, you know, in April or May or January. They weren't scheduled 3, 4, 5 years ahead of time.
Right.
And so when Wally and Denny reported for practice in August of 1946, they saw that Miami was the end of the schedule. That last game got to be in December. And a lot of players were saying, "Oh wow, we get to go to Miami." They had no idea what was going to happen, and that you couldn't play in Miami because Miami was segregated.
Right.
Now it's too detailed to go on of what happened, but the bottom line is a lot of teams back then did play games without their black players. I mean, it's well documented. But Penn State, the Daily Collegian broke the story right after the Fordham game, mid-October, and the players then had a vote that Bob Higgins, the coach, called a vote, and Wally told me many times, he's told a lot of people, he didn't know how the vote was going to go, and because there were racists on the team. I mean, you know, that was the times. You know, they knew who the bad guys were, but a lot of the guys on this team were typical with 47 too, had been war veterans, and they'd played with African Americans back in high school, but there's still a lot of people that were racist. So they started to Higgins started talking. They took a vote, and a couple of players were hemming and hawing, and then a couple of the white players, John Polskin, who became the co-captain in 1947, and Sam Tamburo, who was a rookie like Wally, they stood up, and eventually they said, "No, we're unanimous. We're gonna play. We either go as a team or we don't go as a team. So if they don't want our blacks there, we're not going." And so they canceled the game. So that happened in 46. So now in 47, this 47 team was a great team, and they're unbeaten. And you know, it's a lot. We can go into details of how they got there, but they were unbeaten. And SMU or the Cotton Bowl Association, I'll talk to them about going to the Cotton Bowl, because they were in the ratings. They were moving up in the ratings, and between 1 and 5, they'd started out low, but they'd moved up because they were undefeated. And Matty Bell, the coach of the SMU team, he was ahead of his time, and he wanted to integrate the Cotton Bowl. And he talked to his players, which was all white, and they agreed to play Penn State if Penn State was selected. Well, the Cotton Bowl hemmed and hawed, and that, well, the place is segregated. They're not in hide hotel. So they worked out a deal where the team would stay in a naval base, still active naval base, 14 miles out of town. And originally, they weren't supposed to have a dinner for them downtown, but later on, they arranged one. But that was what they agreed to at a practice field, but it was 14 miles from the Cotton Bowl. So that was set up that way. And apparently, before Penn State was supposedly going to vote, Someone said, well, we voted last year, we're going to vote this year. And supposedly Steve Sui, the All-American guard, said, no, we're not going to vote, we're Penn State. But I don't want to get into that because I'm not sure he said that. That may be how the We Are Cheers started, and we'll start that.
But that's
giving you a quick view. I know I rambled here, but I think I hope your audience understood where I was talking about.
Well, and as for the game itself, it ends up being the tie. We know Ed Chekai missed the extra point, but Wally Triplett turned in an outstanding performance against Doak Walker that day.
No, Doak Walker. Here, let me describe what happened in the game, because people remember the milestone. The people that do, but they don't. They have no idea about the game. I've watched a video of the game. It wasn't televised back then. It was Mutual Radio, but there was game film. So I've watched the game film because Ed Chekai, who later became the athletic director at Penn State, was always kidded about missing the extra point. Well, Doak Walker makes the extra point too.
That's right.
And here's what happened. Walker was only a sophomore, but he already was the future star. And of course, he eventually won the Heisman and was all Detroit Lions All Pro. He's in both college and Pro Football Hall of Fame. He threw a 53-yard touchdown pass in the first quarter, and then scored a 3-yard touchdown with 2 minutes left in the half. Okay, but he missed his second extra point. But after that, scoring that, missing that extra point, Penn State went 65 yards very quickly, and Larry Cooney, who was a freshman, scored on a 36-yard touchdown pass from Elwood Petchel, and Ed kicked the extra point. So they were open to third quarter, and the defense forced the team came out of that halftime. I don't know what was said in the halftime in the locker room because I never had a chance to interview some of those players, including Ed, who might have been able to tell you what was said. But they held SMU down, and it was three and out, and then they went downfield and scored, and it was Triplett who caught the pass, a 4-yard pass with 4.5 minutes left in the period, mm-hmm. for the touchdown. And Chekai then, who was being kidded about his nickname, he always Eddie. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't like our modern day kickers, because extra points were sort of an after fact back then. A lot of people kicked extra points, including Triplett a couple times in games. Right. But his Chekai's kick sailed over the right goalpost, and you see the video. You'll see it go over, and the referee. They didn't have two guys down there like they have now to do signal. Two guys, it was only the referee, and he paused for about 4 or 5 seconds, and they signaled it was no good. And some of the players still say they thought it was good, you know, when I talked to them back 30, 20 years ago, and I was interviewing a couple of them. But at the same time, I looked at that, and you really can't tell.
Right. I've seen it.
Yeah, and if they did replay like they did today, you'd know one way or another. Right. But the Penn State finished fourth in the nation. But people think, well, you know, the tie. No, they were finished fourth in the nation before the bowl games. Back then, the AP, which was the only rating service going, they started in 1936. And back then, they took the poll. As you know, they took the poll many years after the regular season. They didn't switch over until a few years later. So Michigan was number one, Notre Dame was number two, SMU was number three, and Penn State was number four. Mm-hmm. And all three of the three of those northern teams, they had a lot of war veterans on their teams, and they were probably one of the greatest years of college football ever.
Penn State had some significant wins early in Joe's tenure. Obviously, Miami that Friday night where he switched out for the sophomores, the NC State game. The two bowl games with Kansas and Missouri. But I've always felt that the game that told everybody, Penn State is really, really good. It's time to really consider them, is when they beat Texas 30-6 in the Cotton Bowl. Texas led that game. And then the second half, Penn State was brilliant.
Yeah, but before you talk about that, when you really have to go back to the 1969, the famous Nixon intervention game, year, okay, because that 1972 Cotton Bowl that you're talking about against Texas was really set up by the Penn State not going to the Cotton Bowl after their 68 season when they went to the Orange Bowl, and then in 69 they actually voted not to go to the Cotton Bowl, okay, where they could have played Texas. But there's a whole big story. I've written about it in the current issue of Blue White Illustrated, the whole story. We don't have to go in all of it unless you want to go into it. But the problem was on that one was that the Bulls were set up 2 or 3 weeks before the regular season started.
Right.
And even with Nixon's intervention down in, you know, going to the Arkansas Texas game and giving the winner a plaque, and Bud Wilkinson's having him do that for, he was an analyst, and right, and having him do that for political reasons.
It was the Southern strategy, is what it was called.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So by Penn State, but one of the reasons Penn State didn't vote to go to the Cotton Bowl was because they thought Ohio State, here's what goes in, Ohio State was going to repeat as the champion, right, and Michigan upset them with a new coach named Bo Schembechler. I mean, that story's been told by a lot of people up in Michigan, and so when it came down to Penn State, before that happened, Penn State had to pick where they were going to go, and they decided to go to the Orange Bowl. One of the reasons they decided is the black players, led by Charlie Pittman, decided they didn't want to go to that racist town where President Kennedy was shot.
Right.
I mean, so Penn State was criticized then, and even by some of its own people and some of its fans for ducking Texas. They really didn't duck Texas. They made a choice that turned out not to be the, you know, they took the wrong fork in the road, as Yogi used to say.
Right.
And it wound up bad-mouthing Penn State for years. So in 71, Joe still had a great season in 71, except something else set up that game in 72, and that was they had a final game at Tennessee, and
right,
they lost it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to go into how they lost. They really didn't play their type of a game, and so they came out losing that game, and they lost one game instead of being undefeated, and they were again being criticized a big deal by the reporters and by the Texas people when they went to down to Dallas before that game on January 1st of 1975,
And in that game, they beat Texas 30-6, and Lydell Mitchell played great. Scott Skarzinski had a big-time catch in that game for a long touchdown. I want to say it was 72 yards. And Penn State won it 30-6. And then they come back, and they have to play Baylor a couple of years later. And I think the single most memorable thing about that game was Baylor tried an onside kick, and Joe Jackson ran it back 50 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah, that you know, it's interesting how these games occurred. But I'm going to talk about one thing about that 72 game. That, and again, I wrote about this for the upcoming issue of Blue White Illustrated. It's interesting how my editor Matt Herb and I talked about doing this even before we knew we were going to the Cotton Bowl. This one, because the Nixon was 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
But in that game, Cotton Bowl game that Orange Bowl game, we beat Missouri,
mm-hmm,
but because they, you know, I said earlier, because they didn't go to the game. But so then 72, when we have the chance to play Texas down in 72, one of the biggest problems was Dallas still thought that we were weaklings, and one of the great stories is that it was 6-3 at halftime.
Yeah,
and there was no panic in the dressing room.
Right,
and Dave Joyner, who was an All-American guard, tells Joe as he's passing by, "We got him where we want him." And you mentioned the, like Straczynski and some of the, mm-hmm, the plays that happened, and they came back, and we beat them in the 30-6, I think was the final score.
Yes, it was.
And finally, the all the critics out there just praised Penn State for what they did. And the big point is they stopped the wishbone.
Yeah, yeah, Eddie.
Because
I watched the tape, Eddie Phillips. I watched the game. I remember watching the game live, but I rewatched the tape like 3-4 years ago. I mean, Penn State mirrored the wishbone, and they beat it.
One of the reasons they knew the wishbone is because earlier in the season they played TCU, okay, and TCU had the wishbone, and they stopped the wishbone, so they practiced against the wishbone before, and Texas must not have realized this, okay, because
right,
it may not have looked like it in that first half down there, but that's the problem. They beat the wishbone.
And that was the key to it. And we're going to have more with Lou Prado on Penn State's history in the Cotton Bowl next week. And then we're also going to have a Cotton Bowl preview, which will include James Franklin next week as well. We'll come back with more in a moment. Merrill Reese next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
At Amazon this holiday, there's still time to find great gift ideas for those final names on your list. Plus, with free one-day delivery on millions of gifts with Prime, there'll be more, more, and more.
You shouldn't have.
You're on Santa's nice list.
Amazon, delivering all you need for less.
Actually, we're going to have a lot more with Lou Prado next week on the Penn State's history in the Cotton Bowl. So that we'll have that. Dave Willishin, the play-by-play voice of Memphis, is going to join us. Tony Knopp, James Franklin will be on. We have a lot going on next. We're only going to be on Thursday and Friday next week, but we're going to make it count.
Definitely.
Every minute.
We're going to make it count. The Hall of Fame... The Centennial Class, the expanded class, right? So here are the finalists for the Centennial Class. Two coaches will be chosen. Don Coryell, Bill Cowher, Tom Flores, Mike Holmgren, Jimmy Johnson, Buddy Parker, Dan Reeves, and Dick Vermeil. I can already hear the back corner office screaming for Bill Cowher.
Without a doubt. Dick Vermeil will be hard to stop getting in.
Well, he's got one Super Bowl title. Cowher has one. Tom Flores has two. Holmgren has one. Jimmy Johnson has two. And Buddy Parker won a couple of titles with the Lions in the 50s. So I would think Cowher would be probably on this list last. Just kidding. I can't believe it.
Yes,
that's awful.
It is horrible.
He watches the pregame show just to hear what Cowher has to say. I said, I don't for inner peace.
Yes, for tranquility's sake.
Harold Carmichael is one of the players on here.
Gotta like his chances.
I don't know.